Today's daf is Vav Metzia daf Kuf Ches. We left off on daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. We are four lines before the lines get wide on daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, Amar le Rav Yehuda le Rav Ada Mashucha'a. Rav Yehuda told Rav Ada the land measurer, the land surveyor, who would measure lands before sales in order to make sure that people were selling exactly the right amount of property and everyone knew exactly what they were getting. So he would tell him, you have to be very careful. Don't be negligent in the way that you measure the land. Make sure you're very precise in the way that you measure the land. Because the kalporta or porta, chazi l'korkum arishka. Because you might think that a tiny piece of land is going to make that much of a difference, but you should know that every little bit of land is ra'ui to plant saffron on, and that's very valuable. And each tiny piece of land can mean extra money for the person who's buying the land, the person who's selling the land. It's very important. So obviously that first halacha is not such a great chiddush, that you have to be precise in your measurements. The next halacha is a bigger chiddush, but it sets up the next halacha, which is the bigger chiddush. That Rav Yehuda said to Rav Ada Mashucha, to Rav Ada the land measurer, he said, the surveyor, Dalet Amos Da Anigra, Zalzel Behu. The four Amos of Anigra, you should be mezalzel, you should be imprecise, you shouldn't be so careful. What are the four amos of Anigra? So Rashi explains, amas hamayim shim shichua min hanara gadol el hasados, that they would have a waterway that they would bring from the main river toward the field, al pnei abikakulen, it would run the entire length of the valley where all the people's fields are, umanichin bali kol sada v'sada milizroa es akfeha, Rochav Arba Amos, and along the sides of that waterway that extended from the river down the entire valley, all through everyone's fields, all the people who owned fields along the sides of that river would leave four amos next to that waterway unplanted, shaltiskalkal svasa, so they shouldn't ruin that waterway. Umodidin osam kulam biyachad, umetzainim osam shliach rishum min asimun al-chutz. And they made markers along the edges so that people would know that within four amos you don't plant, you don't plow, you stay away from the land within four amos so you could leave it alone so that the waterway will remain a healthy waterway and will be able to continue to be used to irrigate all of the fields in the valley. So he said that you don't have to be so precise in measuring. Why not? Because if it's a little more than four amos, it won't hurt anybody. It would be nice if it were a little bit more than four amos. We want to be extra careful to make sure that people are not ruining this waterway, so four amos is really just a bare minimum. However, he says, da'anahara lotim shechenu klal, the area that you leave next to the river itself, now the river supports the entire city, because the river has many of these waterways that are pulled out of it in order to go and irrigate all the fields in the entire city. So he says the area around the river that goes unplanted, you shouldn't even measure at all. Just do that based on sight. Whatever you think looks like a reasonable amount of space, and it's likely going to be a lot more than the four amos that it really has to be. But this is so critical because it relates to the entire city and to the irrigation of all of the fields in the city. So we're even more makbid to not be so precise in the measuring and not be so careful to make sure that it's dafka, four amos and no more. Rav Yehuda Tamei, and this is Rav Yehuda L'shitaso, Tam Rav Yehuda Arba Amos Ta'anigra L'bnei Anigra, the four amos that you leave on the side of the individual waterway is only going to affect those people whose fields are right near this waterway, this thing of water that's been pulled from the river, Danahara Dukli Alma, but the area near the river affects everybody, it affects the entire world, and therefore it's much more critical. Machriz Rabiami, Mali Kasvi Nagdi Betray Avinara Kotsu. The way it would work is if they wanted to pull a barge up a river, so they they didn't have motorboats in those days to pull the barge, so what they would do is they would tie strings to the ends of the barge, ropes to the ends of the barge, and they would have strong men walk along the riverbank pulling at the ropes in order to pull the barge upstream. And that's the way they would do it. So since that was very common, and that's what a river was used for, to be able to pull these big barges, you should have to cut out the forest area along the sides of the river. You should cut down the trees so that the men will be able to walk through. So how much trees do you cut down? So Rabbi Ami said, Malo Kasvi Nagdi, the shoulder width of the schleppers who were schlepping these barges, up the river, that's how much you cut down. Now, the Melokasvi is not just the width when they stand up straight, but obviously if you're pulling something, you're bent over a little bit, so they would bend and tilt away from the river as to get more leverage when they were pulling the barge. So you have to take that into account when you cheshven out the width of their shoulders. Rabbi Nassan Bar Hoshia cuts Shitzer Amsa. Rabbi Nassan Bar Hoshia actually cuts 16 amos of forest away. Asur alei b'nei Mashrunya tafnuhu. And the people of Mashrunya came, and they who apparently owned those trees, and they were not happy that 16 amos worth of trees were cut away, and they beat him up, they hit him. Who suffer kirushusarabim? Now he thought you should have to cut 16 amos away because it should, just like a rushusarabim is 16 amos wide, so that's how much area you need to leave a proper area for people to walk by. And what's a proper area for people to walk by? A rushusarabim is all we know about in terms of a proper area for people to walk by. Velohi hasam binun kulehai, but he was incorrect over there when it comes to rushusarabim. Yes, you need that much space. Over here, it's just about pulling the ropes and pulling the rafts. So it's good enough to cut away the width of the people's shoulders who are pulling it. You don't need to cut 16 amos. That's way, way too much trees to cut down from the sides of the river. That's completely unnecessary. So the assumption over here is that 4 amos is the area that, or roughly 4 amos is the area that you would need to cut down. If you look at Tosas, Petravin Arakotsu, Pirish Anfe Ilanos Yarkotsu, Shetrichel Nahatos Kisfeim Letzaliyar, Shlo Yiplu B'mayim. Right? So Tosas then asks, the truth is, this kash of Tosos, it's pointed out on the side, is not going on this thing of the guys pulling the barges. The kash, even though the Dibra Maskel is on that, the kash of Tosos is really going on the idea of leaving 4 amos next to the river unplanted, 4 amos next to the waterway that comes out of the river unplanted. So Tosos is going to be bothered, why do we leave 4 amos? That seems like a lot to leave unplanted next to a small waterway that comes out of the river. So Tosa says, and he's not just asking Stam Misvara, as we're going to see, there's a lot of Baba Basra overlap in today's daf. We're doing a lot of foreshadowing for Baba Basra in today's daf. But Tosa starts the Baba Basra foreshadowing by saying, Vim Tomer, Damrin Bisov Perakamocher Peros, Ama Beis Hashlachan Ani Mochalach, Nosin Lo Beis Amos Latocha, that if you sell the irrigation canal that goes through a field to somebody, you don't sell them the field, just the irrigation canal. So obviously he acquires a little bit of the edge of the canal also. So how much does he get? He gets the 2 amos that are the canal itself, plus an amma on each side. So apparently only 1 amma on each side. Who says about 4 amos? Why should you need 4 amos on each side? 1 amma on each side. So it says Tosfos Yishlomar the Hasamari Ba'amas Hamayim Shuladam Echad. Over there, we're talking about an individually owned irrigation canal. Shehu also charitz tov sedeh lahashkos mena. A guy makes a canal in his field to irrigate his field. Vein tzarech lakfayim rak amma mikan v'amma mikan. So all you need is an amma on each side. But v'hacha. This isn't an individual canal. This is a canal that's there to go across the entire valley, to irrigate all the fields in the entire valley. It's a much larger body of water. And therefore, you need 4 amos on the edge that remains unplanted. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Rabbi Rav Huna Havaleya Hu Ava Agudu Dinahara. Rabbi Rav Huna had a forest along the riverbank. And as we just said, when you have a forest along the riverbank, you have to cut out trees immediately alongside the river so that the men who pull the barges should be able to walk up the river pulling the ropes. Amrulei nekutzmar. So everyone said to him, you got to cut it down. You have to cut down your trees from that area. Amrulehu kotzu yulai v'tasai v'ad nekutzana. He said, I'll tell you what, let the people upstream cut their trees down. Let the people downstream cut their trees down. Then I'll cut my trees down. Meaning, what's the point? If the people need to pull the barges up the entire length of the river, if no one else cuts their trees besides for me, so there will be, what, 100 yards where there are trees cut down? That's not going to help these people. They're not going to be able to pull the barges up until the point of my field, nor past the point of my field. So what's the point anyway? It's not going to work unless everyone buys into it, unless everyone cuts their trees. So first let everyone else cut their trees, then I'll take care of my own. So actually, wait a second. How is he allowed to say such a thing? Doesn't the pasuk tell us that when it comes to fixing a situation, so first his koshishu, then vakoshu. First you search within yourself, and then you search in others to fix them. If there's a problem in the way people are behaving, so you want to fix that problem, so first you go and you fix the problem within yourself, and then you fix the problem within everybody else. It's going to be disingenuous, and no one's going to listen to you if you start trying to make sure that everyone else fixes their problems before you fix that very same problem, when you still have those same chesronos, those same issues to deal with. In fact, Rabbi Rucham Emir writes that this idea of iskoshu v'koshu is not only that it's not proper midos tovos to give other people mussar in something that you haven't really worked on yourself, it's that it won't work. It's completely ineffective. Why would anyone listen to you if you have no credibility on that topic? So it has to be something that you have to build up your own credibility and only then go to fix others in that area. So how could he say, let the other people go cut the trees alongside the river and their fields, and then I'll cut mine? No, Adiraba, if you want to do the right thing, first you do the right thing, and then you hope you set an example that other people will also do the right thing. So he says, no, Hasam, Abba de Beparzuk Rufila Hava, Vamri Kaitsu Kayatsa, Vilo Kaitsu, Amai Ekuts, Timam Tchilu Ashlai Mustagiluhu, Vilo Lo Mustagiluhu. Over there, the situation was that the fields upstream and downstream from him were not owned by Jews. They were owned by some Persian governor, and there was no way that governor was ever going to cut his forest away so the bargemen should be able to pull the barges upstream. It's just never going to happen. It's not, he knew that it wasn't Shaykh. So he said, what's the point? If there's no clear path from the bottom of the river to the top of the river for these guys to walk along and pull the ropes, then they're not going to do it. They're just not going to pull barges up this river walking along my side of the river there, because it's going to be a waste of time. So if I cut my forest away, it's still not going to do anything. People are still not going to use this side of the river. If there were a clear path the entire way, so good, yeah, I'm sure then they would walk along the side of the river. But there's no point in me doing anything knowing full well that nobody else is going to, none of the other properties alongside this river are going to be cleared of the shrubbery along the sides of the river. So there's simply no point. Had it been Jewish people who we maybe could have had an effect on, and maybe could have been mashpia on to cut it, so then of course he would have cut his own field first and set the example for everybody else. Rabbi Bar Rav Nachman, on top of Chesam Ralph, Rabbi Bar Rav Nachman, have a ka'azil ba'arva. Now, the continuation of this story is that Rabbi Bar Rav Nachman was once traveling on a boat. Chazahu Abba Dukaya Gudu Dimara. And he was distressed to find, when he was going up that river, that the forest went all the way up against the river. And whoever owned the forest area on the side of that river didn't cut down the trees to leave room for the guys who are going to pull the barges. So Amarlohu Deman. He said, who owns this forest? Who owns the land on the side of this river? He's doing something terrible. So Amarlohu, they said, well, actually, the Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba Bar Rav Huna owns the land on the side of the river. So Amar, he said, so he said an expression based on the pasuk. He said, you know, it's always the leaders that are the first to sin, that are the first to lead everyone else in doing the wrong thing. That here he is, Rabbi Rav Huna, you should know better. He should have cut down the trees alongside the river. He didn't. And you see, he's causing all this problem. So he told the people that were with him, you know what, just get out of the boat and cut down the area over here. Cut down the forest alongside this river. So Kotsu, they did. Asa Rabbi Rav Huna comes home. Ashkei Dekayetz, and he checks out his forest, and he sees that it's cut near the river. So Amar, he says, Man Katya, Tokosanpe, who cut this? Whoever cut this, their trees should be cut down also. So Amri Kulu Shani, the Rabbi Rav Huna, Lo Ikayim Lezara, the Rabbi Rav Nachman. So long as Rabbi Rav Huna lived, Rabbi Rav Nachman never had children that survived. Meaning, because he used such a lashon that whoever cut down my tree should have their trees cut down, and we know Adam Eitz HaSadeh, Adam Eitz HaSadeh, that a person is compared to a tree. So he's saying there should be no people in his family that should survive, and no one in his family, in fact, did survive because he cut down Rabbi Rav Huna's trees. Now, it seems a little harsh to impose a curse on somebody like that just because they cut down your trees. So the Iyun Yaakov says, yeah, it's harsh, but Adam Eitz HaSadeh, so it's Mida Keneged Mida. It's still a little difficult to understand. But Yoyada says, no, he didn't really mean that the family shouldn't survive. He really meant that there should be a literal Mida Keneged Mida. This guy cut down my trees, I want his trees to be cut down. I mean, that was the curse. Whoever cut down my trees, their own trees should suffer. But, you know, he said it, and once you're mekatred, once the kitrug is out there up in Shemayim, so it can cause untold damage, and that's exactly what happened. If you look at Tosfos, Likutz Anfei says Tosfos, Shezahaya Oso Yar Atzmo Shel Parzik Rufalia Lo Hasi Yado B'mal Klal Lekach Kilel. That this was the same. Why did Rabbi Rav Huna get so upset that his forest was cut down? Because whoever cut it really had no right to cut it down. He said, you know what? This is Tosfos understands this is the continuation of the previous story. This is the exact same forest that he didn't have to cut down because the lands upstream and downstream were owned by the Persian governor. So it didn't matter if he cut it down. So he said, you know what? It's not right that someone else should come cut it down who's obviously unaware of the situation and is unaware of the fact that I wasn't mechuyev to cut this down. So Mela, the person deserves a curse for cutting it down. The Meiri says that it's in fact not the same forest. Now, according to Tosfos, that it is the same forest. The point of dispute between Rabbi Rav Huna and Rabbi Rav Nachman, the point of dispute was probably like a Marisayan type of thing. I mean, the Rabbi Rav Nachman was going to say, look, it may be that you have a valid excuse not to cut down this forest, but bottom line is people are going to see that Rabbi Rav Huna doesn't cut down the forest next to the river. And everyone's going to learn from that. And they're not going to listen to your excuses. So you have to set an example and you have to live above board. And Rabbi Rav Huna says, no, I don't. The halacha says, I don't have to do anything over here. So I don't have to do anything. The Miri understands that it's not the same forest. And the Gemara is saying that you shouldn't cut down a forest of a Talmud Chacham. So if it wasn't the same forest, Rabbi Rav Huna really should have cut it down. And Rabbi Rav Nachman did the right thing by having it cut down. So the Miri says, no, he still didn't do the right thing by having it cut down. Because if the forest belongs to the Talmud Chacham, you don't go cut it down without his permission. You tell him, and he'll take care of it. You can trust that he'll take care of it. The only time we would cut it down without consulting the landowner is if the landowner is not a Talmud Chacham, he's not someone who would listen to us, he's not someone who's responsible and would take care of it themselves, and therefore we would take care of it. But if you found out that it belonged to Rabbi Rav Huna, you shouldn't have treated him like any shmo in the street. You should have treated him with respect and assumed that he'd be responsible and he would do what he has to do, and therefore you should have told him first. That's the way the Meiri understands the Gemara. Rav Yehuda, Hakol Li'igli Gafa Vafilu Miyasmi. When it comes to paying for the gates around the city, everyone has to pay the taxes that will pay for the security around the city, even Yisomim, because they're also protected by the city security fence. Aval Rabbanan Lo, but the Rabbanan don't have to pay for it, because my taima, Rabbanan Lo Tzrich Nitirusa, the Rabbanan don't need protection. This is also a sugya in Bava Basra that we're going to have in the first parak of Bava Basra, that when it comes to paying taxes for things that are used by everybody, everybody pays for those taxes. But when it comes to paying for things that certain members of the community don't need or don't use, so then those members of the community don't have to pay for those taxes. So when it comes to the security fence, the Rabbanan, that's not always true. We're going to see in Bava Basra, when it comes to certain things that are necessary for a community to function properly, even though I don't personally get benefit from it, certain things, such as Malamdei Tinokos, when it comes to establishing yeshivos, when it comes to establishing yeshivos in each city, since there is a takana that there should be Malamdei Tinokos b'chol yavir b'chol pelech u'pelech, even those who don't use the benefits of those Malamdei Tinokos, those who don't have children, whatever, everyone should pay to support the Malamdei Tinokos. There are certain things that everyone has to pay for. But most of the time, if it's something like a security fence where the Rabbanan don't need the security because their Torah protects them, so the Rabbanan aren't going to have to contribute toward the security fence other people, but everyone else who does benefit does have to contribute. What's the definition of a rabbi? Who's a Talmud Chacham? So the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch, a Talmud Chacham is Adam Amuchsuk Bedoro, Shu Talmud Chacham, Sheyadei Lisav Litin Vetorah, a person who's known in his generation to be someone who knows how to talk and learning, Umeven Bedaito Barov Makomas Talmud Perushav, and has a good working knowledge of Shas and Rishonim. Person with a decent knowledge of Shas and Rishonim. And the Shach says that when we say the Bi'iro, when we say Bedoro rather, it means Bi'iro. It doesn't mean that he has to be like the Gadol Ador that everyone in the generation knows about him, even if he's a local Rav, but he happens to be. He knows Shas and Rishonim pretty well, so that's good enough. He doesn't have to be Rav Eliashiv. He doesn't have to be someone that's world renowned. It doesn't have to be Bedoro on that level. It means in his generation, in his city, people know that this is a guy who can hold on learning in most of Shas. Now the Chazon Ish asks, wait a second. Granted, Talmid Chacham don't need Shmira, but don't Talmid Chacham have a requirement to be Noe Kiminag HaOlam? Shouldn't they be not Somech Al Anes? Don't they have a requirement to live life like normal people live life and not rely on some supernatural protection? So he says that not really. He says that the level of protection that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person directly correlates to his level of bitachon. So the greater the level of bitachon, the greater the level of protection. Talmud Chacham has a lot of bitachon, and therefore he doesn't need as much protection. Unbelievable comment of the Chazon Ish when it comes to this type of issue. Okay, the Shidum Gvetza says that the Talmud Chacham that we're talking about is Dafka someone who's Terasa Umnaso to the point that he doesn't do anything else but learn. Much higher standard. The Rosh says, no, he could have a job also if he, but not a job to get rich at, a job to just, like the Chafetz Chaim had a job. He has a shop where he opens it up just as many hours as he needs to support himself for that day, and then he closes it up once he has the $20 he needs to eat two meals that day or whatever it's going to be, and then he closes up shop. He's not buying houses, he's not buying cars, he's not buying whatever it is. He has just enough to support himself in every other moment he spends in learning. And that's what Shulchan Aruch says. That Terasum Naso, even if he has Ktsas Malacha, as long as every moment that he's not working, he's learning Torah. That was that's the standard. Again, Ktsas Malacha. If he has a job that involves a lot of Malacha, even if he spends his off time learning, that doesn't make him Terasum Naso. He would still have to pay the taxes. Lekari de Pasi, when it comes to digging the waterways, the springs and the wells, everyone should have to pay for it, even the rabbis pay for it. Because everyone enjoys the benefit of the water. And that's only if the tax is a monetary tax, but it's not something where you're physically required to go out and help in the digging. If it were that each citizen has to go physically help in the digging, then a Talmud Chacham doesn't have to go, because it's beneath his dignity to go out and help in the digging. Am Rav Yehuda, the Kariyu de Nahara, when there's a blockage in the river and they need to dig out the blockage in the river so that the water will flow more freely, so Tasai Misayayilai, the people that live downstream have to help. If the blockage is upstream, they have to help the people who live upstream take care of that blockage, because that affects the people downstream as well. If there's a blockage upstream, the water's never going to go downstream. So it affects all of them. But if the blockage is downstream, the people upstream don't have to help because they're fine. Their river is flowing fine. It doesn't affect them. Only the people living downstream have to help with the digging out the blockage. V'chilufa b'maya demitra. And it's the opposite when it comes to rainwater. When it comes to a gutter system to get rid of all the rainwater, so then the people downstream are going to be affected by what happens upstream, because if there's a blockage upstream, the people downstream won't have any water flowing through there, and they're going to be fine. But if there's if the people downstream have a blockage, it's going to affect the people upstream, because there's going to be a sewage backup. There's going to be a backup, and it's going to overflow all the fields upstream as well. So therefore, it's the reverse. Tani nami hachi. Chamesh ginos hamestapkos mimayin mimayin echad. If you have five gardens that all get irrigated from one spring, then the skalkal amayin, and that mayin gets ruined, kulam esaknos imehel yona. Everyone has to chip in to fix it. Nimsis hatachtonu mesakenesim kulan umesakenes liatzma. So the bottom one fixes for everybody else and fixes for itself. V'chein chamesh chatzeru shayum kalchos mayim lebiv echad. And so too, if you have five chatzeros that the water flows from down the same gutter, and the gutter gets ruined, everyone has to fix with the bottom guy. The guy on the top has to fix no matter where the problem occurs, because he's affected no matter what. Omar Shmuel, Haiman da Achsik Briks of the Nahara, Chatzifa Havi. If a person goes and is Machsik in the land that's right by the riverbank, it's considered a chutzpah, because that land needs to be left free so that people can unload and load packages onto barges and whatever, you know, in order to get things transported, you need to leave that area open. So if a person buys that so that he can build, and he wants to build a nice big house on the beachfront or whatever it is, so you can't, that's a real chutzpah. But Slukim, but you're not going to kick him out. We're not going to invalidate the sale. The idna de kakasvi parsai. But nowadays, where the parsayim right in all the shtaros that are of property that's right by the riverbank, kanilach ad malit savari susya maya, that you should be kona this property up and not only up until the river itself, but even into the river to the point where it's neck high on a horse. That's how much land you own. You actually own part of the river, right? If you dock a boat or something, you own that area. Then if a person tries to build in that area, we can throw him out. Rashi says, why? Because the land right next to it is already owned. So whoever owns it, since the standard language of the shtar includes that he owns into the river already, you can't go in and say, oh, well, he's not using this area, it's open, so I'm going to go build a house. No, he owns it. The guy who owns the closest field owns that entire area. So you can't go in and build a house on the riverbank. That's how Rashi understands it. Tosfos has a slightly different understanding, but not for now. If a person is machzik in land that's right between two brothers, there's a brother owns land A and the other brother owns land C, and you go right in the middle between the two brothers or between two partners. Chatzif avi, that's also a chutzpah, but sluke lo misalkinale, we're not going to throw him out of the land. Rav Nachman amar nami misalkin, Rav Nachman says we absolutely will throw him out of the land. Vimishum dinu de bar mitzvah lo misalkinale. But if it were not an issue of being mafsik between two brothers or two partners, it's just an issue of din de bar mitzvah, that you buy a land that a neighbor did not have an opportunity to buy first, we're not going to throw you out. Nahardai Amri, afil mishum din de bar mitzvah misalkinale. And Nahardai says, no, even if it's din de bar mitzvah, we absolutely will throw you out if you violate a din de bar mitzvah by buying a land that the neighbor did not yet have an opportunity to buy first. Shenemar, mishum shenemar, vasisa yashavatov bein Hashem. Because the pasuk says, vasisa yashavatov. Based on the pasuk, vasisa yashavatov, we learn the halacha that if I want to sell my house, I want to sell my field, I first have to give an opportunity to the neighbors to buy it, and any purchaser who comes in and wants to buy it should make sure that I first gave an opportunity to the neighbors to buy it before he buys it himself. The neighbors have to have the first chance. How do we know it? Vasisa Yashavatov. Now, is that a drasha d'oraisa? Or is that only, you know, Vasisa Yashavatov just means be a nice guy, but it's really a din d'rabbanan, the din of din d'bar mitzvah. So it's a discussion the Rishonim. The Rush and the Me'iri say that it's a takana d'rabbanan, and Rashi also says, shalotiknu chachamim lelokeach, which implies clearly that it's a takana, it's an issue of a takana midrabbanan. However, the Shilta Giborim says, chayiv litein shahatora amra Vasisa Yashavatov. That sounds much more that it's d'oraisa. You're chayiv to do it because of the pasuk in the Torah. Sounds much more this than d'oraisa. The Rambam has an interesting middle approach. The Rambam writes, "Dover ze mishum shenemar v'asisa yashav atov amru chachamim." This din of din of the bar mitzvah, because of v'asisa yashav atov, the chachamim said this din. So the Magen Mishnah explains this is one of those things that the Torah sets broad parameters, and the Chachamim have the right to define what fits within those parameters. The Torah says, Asisa Yashvatov, be a good guy, and the Chachamim makes specific rules of what it means to be a good guy. And therefore, Din of the Bar Mitzvah is included in that din of the Torah of Asisa Yashavatov. This is the Magen Mishnah writes that when it comes to Din of the Bar Mitzvah, when it comes to Asisa Yashavatov in general, he says the Torah gives klalim in terms of midos of a person and how a person should behave such as Kedoshim Tiyu, Masisa Yashvatov, right? These are very broad statements. And the reason that the Torah gives such broad statements, and the Ramban and Chumash says the same thing, the reason the Torah gives such broad statements is because if the Torah were to try to spell out every single hanhaga that a person has to have, every single behavior a person has to have, the Torah would be enormous. There was no way to include in a single book every single midah and every single hanhaga that a person should have. So the Torah gives us lots of rules, a good sampling of how you're supposed to behave, and then gives some general statements that you get the idea. Vasisa yashvatov, kedoshim tiyu. Along these lines is the way a Jew is supposed to behave. And we're supposed to figure out that in any given situation, what the Yasha thing to do is, what the Tov thing to do is, what the Kadosh thing to do is, and that's all part of the Kiyum of Mitzvah of Kadoshim Tiyu and the Mitzvah of Asisa HaYasha V'Atov. Okay, so that's the source of the Halach of Dim Debar Mitzvah. Now we're going to discuss many of the details of the Halach of Dim Debar Mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Asa Imlech Bey, Amalei Ezel Izbun. So let's say you go and you ask first, say, can I go and can I sell this field? Amalei Zil Zvon. And the neighbor says, yeah, it's okay. You want to buy the field. So you ask the neighbor first, do you mind if I buy this field? Did you have interest in buying this field? And he says, nah, no problem. You go ahead, buy it. So Tzarech L'Mikne Minei Olo. Is that good enough that he just gave you permission, or do you need to do a kinyan on that permission that he gave you? Ravina Amalei Tzarech L'Mikne Minei. Nadai Amalei Tzarech L'Mikne Minei. Ravina says, not necessary to do a kinyan. Nadai say it is necessary to do a kinyan. That's Tzarech L'Mikne Minei. Says Rashi, Di Lo Kani Minei Matzi Amalei Masha Yisibach. If you don't do a kinyan, the guy could say, I was just joking. Of course I want it for myself. You think I wouldn't want it for myself? What kind of person? Of course I would want it for myself. I wasn't serious when I said that you can go buy it. So when you do a kinyan, then you show that you're much more serious. What's the kinyan on? So apparently, when I buy a field, not only do I buy that field, part of my kinyan in the field that I own is the right to buy the field next door. So I'm selling that right. It's a shtickl ownership in the other field. We pass and you do need a kinyan. Now that we say you do need a kinyan, if the kinyan was not done and you go ahead and you buy someone's field without observing din of the bar mitzvah and making sure that there was a kinyan done with the neighbor first, so we view the person who bought the field as the shliach of the neighbor, because it's the neighbor's right to buy the field. So the person who actually bought the field, it's not his. He's viewed as the shliach of the neighbor, and therefore if it goes up in price or down in price, it's going to be reflected as if he were the shliach. And the Gemara is going to spell it out. Zavin b'meah, let's say I bought it for $100, v'shavi masan, and now it's worth $200. Chazina ilu kolial makom azilu umazbin. So if the guy at the time that he sold it to me for $100 would have sold it to anybody for $100, so then yavle meah v'shakalei. The neighbor, even though right now it's worth $200, the neighbor can say, thank you for doing my shlichus, I appreciate it. Here's the $100 you laid out for my field, and now I'm going to take it. So he's able to get, even though it's worth $200 now, he's able to get it for $100. But if the $100 deal was a special deal that was dafka given to this purchaser, and he would never have given that same deal to the neighbor, then the neighbor has to pay the $200 to get it back from this purchaser. Zavin b'masan v'shav yameh, what if he paid $200 for the field, and really it was only worth $100? So we thought maybe the neighbor could say, what kind of shlichus are you doing? I send you as my shliach, even though he didn't really send him, but you have a din as my shliach, and you're supposed to do things that are good for me, and you overpaid for this by a lot. No, you can't have any such taina. There's no when it comes to karka. This is karka. And therefore, no such tainas are going to be listened to. Let's say I sell somebody land, not land that borders on anybody else's property. I own a large piece of land and I sell them a square right in the middle of my land. So I'm the neighbor. I'm allowed to sell my land, right, when I'm the neighbor to that land. There's nothing wrong with that, right? So says Gemara, not so fast. Chazinan. if that land in the middle that I sold is unique, it's different than all the other land around it, so it's shaykh that the guy Dafka wanted to buy that piece of land, and I Dafka wanted to sell him that piece of land, because it's unique, it's different than all the other land around it, so that it's a valid sale. We don't assume that they're up to any sort of trick. But v'ilo yarume kumarin. But if that land is the same as all of the other land that I own, why did I sell him land right in the middle of my property and not on the edge of my property? Wouldn't it make more sense for me to sell him land on the edge of my property? It must be that we're doing a harama. What are we doing? I want to sell him the land at the edge of my property. Problem is, I have to give my neighbor the option to buy it, and I don't want to do that. So what do? I create another neighbor. I sell him the land in the middle, so now he's also my neighbor, and then I'm going to be able to sell him the land on the edge because he's the neighbor. I don't have to go to that neighbor as opposed to that neighbor, so now I'm going to be able to sell it to him. It's a way of circumventing the problem of Dina Demar Metzra. That's a harama, and that's no good. Matana, less from Mishum Dina Demar Metzra. When it comes to a gift, if you gift a land to somebody, you don't have to first give it as a gift to your neighbor. If you don't like your neighbor, you don't want to give him the gift, you want to give it to somebody else, then there's no din of Dina Demar Metzra. Dina Demar Metzra is Vasisa Yashva Tov, in the sense that you should be a nice guy. If you're going to sell the land, what does it matter to you if you sell it to your neighbor or you sell it to somebody else? Over here, you're giving it as a gift. You're not interested in giving your neighbor a gift, so there's no din of Dina Demar Metzra. Amara Memory, Kasav Le'achrayos, Isva Mishum Dina the Bar Metzra. If he accepts achrayus on the land that he gives, even though it's a gift, it's still subject to din the Bar Metzra, because we don't believe it's really a gift. Even though they write a lashon matan in the shtar, if I'm mekabel achrayus on it, then probably it was really a sale, and then it probably was not really a gift. Makor kol nechasav le'echad, less from mishum din the Bar Metzra. If you sell all of your properties to one guy, then it's not an issue of din the Bar Metzra. Le'bailam arishonim, less from mishum din the Bar Metzra. Meaning, why is it not a problem din the Bar Metzra? Because again, maybe the purchaser was buying all my properties where I own everywhere is going to back out if he doesn't get to buy this property. So I don't have to go to the neighbor of this property first. I'm selling 100 properties, so the neighbor of this property doesn't have to get first right. If I sell a property back to the original owner, it's also not as a situation of Dina Debar Metzra, because he's considered like a very close neighbor because it was his land. Zavon me'akum, zavon la'akum, less from mishum din debar metzra. If you buy from a guy or sell to a guy, it's not a problem of din debar metzra. Why? Zavon me'akum, when you buy from a guy, da'amar le'ari avrich hilach mimetzra. I can say, look, I got a lion off for your border, and therefore you can't have any tainas on me. Zavon le'akum, if you sell to a guy, akum vade lav bar vasisa yashva tovu. Well, the guy doesn't have to abide by vasisa yashva tov. Meaning Rashi points out, the Gemara is telling us a phenomenal chiddush here. Dina de bar metzra is not a din on the seller. The seller can sell to whoever he wants. It's a din on the buyer. If I'm buying property, I need to inquire whether the neighbors had the right to purchase it first. And since when the guy is the buyer, he has no such requirement of Asisa Yashavatov, there's no din of din de bar metzra on the buyer. Shamutei vadim mishamtin le'ad mekabel kolon tzedas le'machmasei. Look, we're not happy with the seller. We'll put him in a shamta until he's mekabel all the onsim that might come about because of this. But technically, halachically speaking, he has not violated Dina de Bar Metzra. Tos points out this is all provided that there's another Jew who's willing to pay for it. Right? Dafka sheisol rotzi likach b'dam shenasan akum, and the other Jew is willing to pay what the guy was offering. But if the guy is offering a lot more money, so you don't have to sell to the Jewish neighbor, right? If the guy is offering him more money. Mashkanta less permission Dina de Bar Metzra. A mashkon, there's no issue of if you sell the mashkon to the person who it's left as a collateral with, so you don't have to worry about Dina de Bar Metzra. The guy who's holding onto the mashkon is considered the closest neighbor. Damar Ravashi, Amar li sabi demasa mechasya, my mashkanta. What's the etymology of the word mashkanta? Tishchuna gabe, that the neighbor is with it. My nafkamin el Dina de Bar Metzra. It means that even though he physically doesn't own any fields next to this land which is given as a mashkon, since it's in his care, in his charge, the mashkon is under his watch, so he's considered the closest neighbor. Limcha barachak v'ligol b'karov, b'rav v'ligol b'yafe, right, if you have the opportunity, if the mocher wants to sell the field because it's far away from where he lives, and he wants to buy a field that's closer, or he's selling a lower quality property and he wants to buy a higher quality, less from mishum din debar metzra. So he's pressured to sell, then you can't force him to sell to his neighbor. He's pressured to sell, he's going to sell to whoever he can. Lekarga ulemazoni lekvura, less from mishum din debar metzra. For taxes, for mizonos, for kvura, there's no issue of din debar metzra. Darminardai, meaning if that's what you're selling for, so that you could pay for those things, there's no issue of dinah de bar mitzvah because you're pressured, you just sell to whoever you can. Darminardai, the kargul mizonin kvura, mizavnina b'lo achrazas. You can sell without a hachraza, li'it without announcing it. Li'isha li'asmi l'shutfi, less mishum dinah de bar mitzvah. For a woman, for yisomim, for shutvim, there's no issue of dinah de bar mitzvah. Shechena, now, according to Rashi, the Gemara stops talking about dinah de bar mitzvah for a couple of lines, and Stam talks about dinah kedima. Shechena y'ir v'shechena Sada, Shechena Yir Kodman. That if it says Rashi, Nir Be'enai Delav B'dinim De Bar Metzra Ayri. This is not about Dinim De Bar Metzra. This is just Stam, Yashar V'tov. That if you have a field to sell and you have neighbors who live near you, and there are people who live in the same building, who live in the same dira, and then there are people that live in nearby fields. So who gets the right? Shechena Yir v'Shechena Sada, Shechena Yir Kodmin, the Shechena Yir win. Shachin v'Tamal Chacham, it's a neighbor and a Tamal Chacham. Tamal Chacham Kodem, Tamal Chacham comes first. Karo v'Tamal Chacham, Tamal Chacham Kodem. A relative or Tamal Chacham has priority. Ibayilu, Shachin v'Karov Mai. So Tamal Chacham beats out both a neighbor and a relative. What about a neighbor versus a relative? Who wins there? Tashma, Tov Shachin Karov Me'ach Rachok. A close neighbor is better than a distant relative. Hani Zuzi Tavi, v'Hani Zuzi Takoli, less from Mishum Dina de Bar Metzra. When you have when one guy is offering good money and one guy is offering bad money, so you don't have to worry about dinah de bar metzra, you go with whoever's offering better money. Hani tsari v'hani shari. If someone's offering money that's tied up in bundles and someone else is offering money that's loose, less from mishum dinah de bar metzra, you can go with the guy who has the loose money where you can see all the money and you can see that it's good. Amar ezel v'atrach v'aisi zul zilona trinale. What if the neighbor says, just give me a while, give me a few days, I need to go work hard, get together the money, and then I'll go come and buy it. You don't have to wait for him. You assume that if he's going to have to work to get the money, who knows if he's ever going to get it. Amar ezel aisi zuzi chazin ni gavr damir hu da azel maisi zuzi natrinale. But if he doesn't say I have to work for it, he says, let me just go get it, I have it in my safe. Let me just go run, get the money, I'll be right back. So we have to ask, we have to figure out if he's a rich guy who likely has the money put away in his safe, so he might as well wait for him to get the money. But if he's not a rich guy, he's just saying he has the money, but he's really going to start handling now to try to get together the money. We don't have to wait for that. If the land belongs to one person, the house belongs to another person, the owner of the land could be ma'akev on the owner of the house. But the owner of the house can't be ma'akev on the owner of the land. If the land belongs to one guy and the trees belong to someone else, the guy who owns the land could be ma'akev on the guy who owns the tree, but not vice versa. Ari lubati va'ara lazara. If you have land that could be used for building houses and land that could be used for planting, yishuv adif. We assume it's better to build houses on it. The less permission din de bar metzra, and it's not subject to din de bar metzra. Ifsik mashunisa, if there's a rocky area that's mafsik, or richva didikla, or there's an area of trees that's mafsik between the neighbor's land and this land that you're selling, so is it subject to din de bar metzra or not? Chazina, we have to analyze. Im yachla hachnas ba'afilu telem echad, ispa mishum dinah de bar metzra. If you're able to bring a plow into the row, then it's subject to dinah de bar metzra. V'ilo, but if you can't because it's too rocky, it's an area that can't be plowed, then less mishum dinah de bar metzra. Then it's considered enough of a hefsik between the two fields that they're not considered neighbors for the purpose of dinah de bar metzra. Hani dala b'nei matzrani dekadim chad minay v'zavin zvini zvini. What if there are four neighbors around the field and one of them goes and buys it first? So then it's a binding sale. V'kulu asu b'hadi adadi. What if they all say at the same time? You put your house, you put the for sale sign out in the field, and all four neighbors come right away and say, "We want it." So which one do you sell it to? So palgala b'karnazil. Look at the picture in the bottom left-hand corner of the page next to Rashi. That's the way you divide it. You cut it in angles, and you divide it amongst the four the people in the four borders in that way, so that everyone gets a portion of the field. Okay.